Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I don't know about you, but cooking is not my forte. But with Hello Feces, they've made it easy. Get back the time that you spend meal planning, shopping, and chopping, and sign up for Hello Feces to experience the most convenient meal delivery system ever invented. With Hello Feces, you don't have to wait for the mail. With our patented delivery system, all you have to do is open wide and receive deliveries throughout the day. So don't wait. Go to humancentipede.com and use code HMT at checkout to receive your free 100% medically accurate diet assessment.
Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk.
An opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Go, 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 go.
Theatrical releases always get priority.
But we also review older horror movies, both good and horrible.
Wow, that didn't sound good.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Bryce Hansen, your host, along with David Day. We're experts.
Experts at spookology.
Yeah.
And,
you know, okay, so today we got a very special episode. We're going to cover the Human Centipede 2, second sequence.
Oh, no, wait, what? I watched the first one.
Oh, shit. Oh, I thought I was very clear.
In retrospect, there's a lot of things we could have done different.
So, yeah, today is going to be a seminal episode. The Human Centipede is one of my favorite movies, and
so to be clear, this
yeah,
is the
so
human
it'll
centipede.
Be the first one. We're okay. We're covering Human Centipede 1. Sorry, I was joking. So, well, we'll get into the story about why we're covering it today. But before we get into it, I want to tell you about our awesome community, because it's the best horror movie community on the internet.
Yeah,
and if you go to our Facebook group, you'll find out why. Go to our website, horrormovietalk.com, and then there you will find links to all our past episodes and all the things us, and especially our listener survey. We want to hear from you, what you like and dislike about the show, so we can improve it. So all through the end of 2021, we're going to be asking you to fill out the listener survey until we get to 100. I think we're about like 20 away.
We got
a ton early on, and then now they're just kind of trickling. So please, if you haven't done so already, go to horrormovietalk.com and click on the button for the listener survey.
Yeah, we want to make the show more of what you want to hear, and that'll help us do that.
And it only takes like 5 minutes to fill out.
Yeah, it's a really quick review.
So also, we should talk about our second Saturday watch parties. Every second Saturday, that's going to be today, too. Hey, we could do
We can watch. I know what we can watch.
you can join us by downloading streamlounge.io and follow along with us. Also, we got a Twitch channel. We got social media. The important thing is that we post this podcast every Wednesday, and you should subscribe and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail, call 682-253-4468. And you may hear yourself on Horror Movie Talk.
Yeah, this has been a long... This Human Centipede, it's been a long time coming. Right. There's been a lot of build-up, so to speak, and people have been just wanting to torture me.
We've been really backed up with episodes, just like really...
Impacted. Yeah.
And we're trying to...
Trying to let it all out.
Yeah.
So here we go.
We'll start out by giving a brief review on our score for the movie. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being 1 and 10 being 10. After we give our score, we'll get into spoilers and take a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the film. Later on, we're going to be playing a new game called Head, Middle, Ass.
Okay.
And I'll explain that once we get to it. So yeah, Human Centipede. This is on my top 10 horror movies that I love, and this is like an outlier because this stands on its own. Like, this is really
stands on its own two legs,
much like David S. Pumpkins. It's its own thing.
What?
You haven't seen the SNL skit David Pumpkins?
No.
Tom Hanks?
No.
I thought I showed it to you.
Yeah, maybe you did. I don't know.
What's up with David Pumpkins, though? I'm my own thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, The Human Centipede can be found... Where did we find it? We just rented it on Amazon.
Yeah, right? We rented it on Amazon.
I don't think it's available anywhere right now for streaming. Yeah, The Human Centipede is about a centipede made out of humans. I mean, it's right there in the title. I don't think it needs spoilers. A mad German surgeon whose specialty is separation of Siamese twins decides to go in a kind of different direction when he kidnaps a couple of American tourists who show up at his door. Like I said, this movie exists in a world of its own, and I think Roger Ebert said it best at the end of his review of Human Centipede when he said, "I am required to award stars to movies I review. This time, I refuse to do it. The star rating system is unsuited to this film. Is the movie good? Is it bad? Does it matter? It is what it is, and it occupies a world where the stars don't shine." It's the only...
Wow, well said.
It's the only movie review that he didn't rate with
Weird.
The star rating.
Was he favorable to it?
It's hard to say.
He was kind of in awe of it.
Kind of, yeah.
But also, like...
Shell-shocked.
Yeah, just like, okay.
Shit-shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you agree that's kind of... Do you... I don't know, I feel like that's true. It's like, this is not... It shouldn't be compared to other films, necessarily.
Yeah, it's definitely exists... It's a post-internet movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it exists in a perverse universe where, you know, children are being sold online, you know, and we know about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everyone's kind of like, oh, this takes place. And it's like, ew, I don't want to think about that. So I can see why you wouldn't want to give it stars, but I think you can rate it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even thought about my rating.
Whatever it is, it's impactful.
Impacted.
So, you know, I'll disagree with the great Roger Ebert and say that this film is great.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite horror movies because of the absolute unflinching commitment to a ridiculous premise while just barely betraying itself with subtle touches of dark, dark humor. Like, it's... We'll go into my favorite scenes in it, and I'll explain a little more why I love those so much. But yeah, I mean, it's... In a much more acceptable way, like, Butt Boy is kind of the same concept, where it's... This is a stupid concept.
Right.
This is like a five-year-old... on the playground was taunting someone, and this is what they taunted them with.
Butt boy, you're a stupid butt boy. And
and they committed time and energy and the skill of hundreds of people, I'm sure, to execute a movie about sewing people's faces to asses.
Hang on, let me warm this up a little bit here.
Ew. Ew. Ew, David. Ew, no, David. Oh my god, ew, David.
Yeah.
So, you know, it walks the razor's edge of storytelling and utter depravity, and it's a movie that you only need to watch once because it's going to stick with you. This was the second watching, I think. I don't think I've ever seen it since the first viewing, and I remembered almost everything from it.
Yeah, strangely, I think I could watch it again. Not that I would, it's some sort of masterclass in something. There's a lot of, I mean, it's definitely, obviously, exploitation. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like to its core, exploitation. It's also like, it's just barely like moving in the direction of like snuff film-esque territory, like, you know, an attempt at making something so depraved, gross, and horrific that's so exploitational that it moves into this direction of like, oh, it's trying to be the utmost pinnacle of depravity,
mm-hmm.
While being a very light version of that. You know, not a lot of is really shown throughout this movie, which made it a fairly easy watch.
Mm.
But it's the ideas that really make you heave,
mm-hmm.
Which is, it's brilliant,
mm-hmm.
You know, show don't tell, or tell don't show,
mm-hmm.
You know, like.
No, it's show don't tell.
No, don't wait. Don't show it. Tell us about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. No, so yeah, I mean it's well done. I'll say this. The casting is brilliant. It's brilliant. There's no other word for the casting of this movie.
And there's really only like one linchpin part.
And the acting is somewhat all over the place. It uh-huh. can be terrible and it can be great. But yeah, I will say I didn't come away from it as horrifically grossed out as I thought I would. Then again, like recently, Carrie's been like, "Wow, you're able to withstand a lot recently, like a lot more than you were 2 or 3 years ago." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I watch a lot of horror movies."
I don't know. You were wincing a lot. You were. I mean, you weren't like about to leave or anything, but when we watched it, like, you were uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I was uncomfortable, sure, but there are certain, there was a time when I'd just turn off stuff, where I was just, I don't want this in my head.
Right.
But now I watch people get decapitated on crazy fucking videos all the time, right. So it's like,
right.
Right.
Did you see on that subreddit where the moderators were like, "Hey guys, you know, it's against the terms service for Reddit to have death videos. Like, we don't want it to become like, you know."
Do you see that?
Watch a person die subreddit.
Do you see that one where the guy was on the motorcycle and it hit the semi truck and went flying and his head came off?
Yeah. In the comments, it said that those were two separate videos. But yeah, that was fucking intense.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, if you want a wild ride and you just can't get enough of the human centipede, go to reddit.com/r/
crazy fucking videos.
Anyways, tangent. So, I'm unapologetic about my score for this movie. I think
this is bonkers
for what it is.
You're bonkers.
It's perfect. I give it a 10 out of 10.
You're like a big dirty raccoon, David.
That's 10 out of 10, huh? This is definitely transcends genre boundaries. Right. Well, I don't know that it transcends genre boundaries. It transcends boundaries. It's it goes beyond horror, really. Mm-hmm. It goes, yeah, well into kind of snuff.
Can you come out with stink like that? Poop. Poop mouth.
Yeah, I don't think I'd give it a 10.
You couldn't live with yourself.
It's not...
Like, okay, here's the question.
It is hard to rate.
For what it is, could you see any changes that they could make to improve it?
Yeah, the acting at the start is so, just bottom of the barrel garbage. And it really kind of, it betrays itself as a movie a lot. Whereas I think, you know, I mean, it's hard to, who am I to tell Tom Six what to do with his movies or to suggest that, oh, it could have been done better this way or that way, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, it's his work and it's his vision. But I will say that acting at the start was just like, there were no second takes. It was pretty stupid. But when it got into, you know, mostly being a show about the doctor and then,
right.
And then you take all the bad actors and staple their mouths onto each other's asses.
Right.
Then it got a little bit more serious and the tone really shifted.
Okay, I can accept that, yeah.
It wasn't enjoyable, and it didn't make me feel anything other than contempt and disgust.
But it made you feel those things strongly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, I think I'd put this somewhere between a 6 and a 7.
Yeah?
I mean, it's a movie. It's definitely ambitious. And it definitely manages to, like, at first I was like, an hour and a half? How in the goddamn world could this be an hour and a half long? And then at the end I was like, oh, that's how.
Yeah.
Through a series of questionable choices on everyone's part. And me going, get out the house, bitch. Like, you know, it was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Except it felt like there were stakes when I had to say that. I was like, no, go.
Right.
You're going to be put on somebody's ass. No.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Ew, David.
Let's move on. Before we get to spoilers, let's talk about nightchannels.com. You know, Christmas is coming up, and, you know, we just passed Halloween, but for horror movie fans, Halloween never stops. And if you want to get a gift for someone that loves horror movies, especially, you know, some more deep cuts, no pun intended, go to nightchannels.com, and they have the absolute best apparel, t-shirts, and hoodies of some of your deepest cut horror movies. You know, we're talking about Human Centipede. I'm not sure they have a Human Centipede shirt, but I know they have a Sallow shirt, which almost the same thing.
Yeah.
as they also have lots of occult, metal, and alternative themed designs. The most important thing is their designs you're not going to find anywhere else.
Nowhere. These things are incredible, and you can even choose their new premium Bella Canvas shirts for that soft, lived-in feel right out the bag, right out the box. And, you know, you go over there, you pop a couple, you just browse, you take the Night Channels Challenge, as we like to call it, just look around. And you know, you'll tell yourself, oh, I'm not going to buy anything, but... And you might not that trip, but in 10 minutes, you're going to be back on your phone. You're going to be heading over there.
That basket case t-shirt.
And when you load up your shopping cart, load it up with 5 or 6 things, you know, get everybody covered for Christmas and use that code HMT at checkout to get yourself 13% off your entire order. Night Channels has been super kind to us, and it's because you guys see value in their product. So check them out.
Also want to call out our sponsor, Shudder.com. If you've listened to the podcast for any length of time, you'll know that Shudder has been a longtime supporter of Horror Movie Talk. So you should check them out. They've got great exclusives. Right now they've got Prisoners of Ghostland starring Nicolas Cage. They got several Shudder original series like VHS 94. They have horror noir, a black horror anthology of six terrifying tales, as well as just a lot of classics that you're not going to find anywhere else, like Exorcist 3, lots of cool stuff. So go to Shudder.com, and for our listeners, they have a special offer. If you use code HMT at checkout, you get 30 days in a free trial instead of the normal 7-day free trial. So don't delay. Even though it's past Halloween, you can still watch horror movies. And if you're listening to us, we know you are. So go to Shudder.com, use code HMT at checkout to get 30 free days of awesome streaming horror. In our listener survey, there are some people that were like, they didn't like the commercials. No one likes commercials.
No.
And if you don't want to listen to them, there's a way to do that.
Yeah, put your money where your mouth is, idiot.
Go to our Patreon, and at a certain tier, I think it's, what is it?
$6.66. And that's a month. That's the cost of a cup of coffee a month, and you get early access to our reviews. You get no commercials, and you get access to 4 or 5 afterpods a month.
Yeah.
And you know, you help out the podcast on top of all those perks. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Christmas apparel shopping, go to our website, horrormovietalk.com/shop, and you can buy a Horror Movie Talk logo tee or some of our stickers designed by Dustin Gobel. Speaking of Dustin Gobel... check him out on Instagram. His screen name? What do you call it?
Yeah, his handle on his Instagram.
His handle is at dgobel00, at D-G-O-E-B-E-L 00. He is our resident artist, and we love him dearly. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail, call 682-253-4468. Thanks again for listening. Let's get into spoilers.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Spoilers!
Why did we record this episode?
Why did we have to
watch this fucking movie?
So we had, speaking of Patreon, we had a goal to get up to 100 patrons, which we achieved a month ago? 2 months ago?
Yeah, about a month ago.
And the gift that we're giving to first our patron listeners and then our general listeners is a commentary track. And the patrons voted on The Human Centipede as the commentary track that we should record. And it worked out great.
Yeah.
I think. I hope it worked out great. I hope it works for people that listen to it and that there's not like any drift or anything on the audio. Let us know.
So if that's not super clear, because it wouldn't be to me as a listener, our commentary. So what we did was we watched Human Centipede, and then as we were watching it, you know, we give you a start time. We say, hey, press play on The Human Centipede now, and you'll get to hear our commentary along with along with watching the movie.
Right.
And so that'll be coming out in a month or so for normal audiences, but, you know, pretty much right away for Patreon. So if you are a Patreon member of any tier, you get to hear that commentary track way earlier.
Yeah. And it was, it's our first time doing it, but I think it went pretty well, especially since it's one of my favorites, and I just delighted in it, and it's David's first time watching it, so
It was a wild ride.
You get the reactions live.
And we'll do another one of these at 125.
Sure.
125 patrons, if we can get up to that. You know, we'll put it to our patrons. What do you want us to do a commentary track on? They'll tell us, and then, you know, maybe you get to see Human Centipede 2 commentary mm-hmm. track. Ugh.
So yeah, then I didn't take down notes while we were watching since we were recording the commentary, but
don't think we'll need notes.
I wrote down a couple bullet points that we could talk about. I think the most important thing we need to talk about is Dieter Laser, which is not a character in the film. He's the actor that plays the main doctor villain. And I almost wonder if they should have just gone with Dieter Laser the name of the doctor.
Yes. Dieter Laser. Hey, fun boys, get a room. That's such a... Okay, this dude is so German-looking, so German-sounding. He's so angry.
I think he is Dutch.
Okay, well, you know what?
Okay, sorry. But yeah, it's what you would expect an evil German scientist to look and sound like. Let's just say that.
This is the most impressive part of this whole movie, for sure, is number one, the guy's name is Dieter Laser. And then he's exactly the kind of... He's not an evil scientist in real life, I have no idea. He is an actor who has a long laundry list of roles that he's played. Uh-huh. And they're not all mad scientists. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I almost wonder if Tom Six would have a career without Dieter Laser as the scientist in this movie. Because it is the linchpin of what makes this movie work. And that's probably one of the things I enjoyed most was his performance and his delivery of these ridiculous lines. There's a couple pieces of trivia that I learned from IMDb. Number one was the origin story of the concept behind Human Centipede.
Okay.
Tom Six came up with the idea when he was joking that an appropriate punishment for child molesters would be to sew their mouths to a trucker's asshole. Which is...
Okay, so that tells me a few things.
Okay.
About Tom Six. He has a strong sense of morality.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like children being molested.
Right. He's one of those. I'm pretty sure we can all agree that we don't like children being molested.
Yeah, but if you were to just show me this movie, I would... And I had no backstory on Tom Six. I go, this guy probably molests little kids.
Right.
Like, there'd be a 50-50 in my mind. I'd be like, oh yeah, it could be
right.
Just art.
This is a depraved...
I'll tell you what, one of the hardest parts about this whole movie to watch, bar none, was the artwork hanging on Dieter Laser's walls throughout the house is just a bunch of... Either
Siamese twins or operations
on little babies. It's harrowing and so disturbing, and does an amazing job of setting the scene. Almost makes me want to cry. Like, it's so fucked up that a person would have little babies in differing states of agony as art on their wall. Ugh, it's gross.
And the other bit of trivia is that Tom Six painted all those paintings.
See, what the fuck? He must have painted the ones that were painted, but some of them were just photographs. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, dear. Oh, my God. Rough.
Yeah. It really sets the stage for what's to come.
Ew, no, David.
So it opens up and we meet the character's actual name is Joseph Heiter, or Dr. Heiter. And he is shown kidnapping a trucker that's taking a shit by the side of the road.
Yeah, in the, like, the, again, this is, like, the start of this movie is profoundly clumsy.
Uh-huh.
It's really clumsy, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it takes a minute for it to get to what's really going on.
Because he's like waiting like a spider in a web for somebody to stop by the side of the road.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah, how would he know that would be the particular... That's a good question. Was he waiting in that spot hoping that someone would stop and take a shit? Or was he following
the truck
hoping that it would pull over and take a shit on the side of the road and not pull into a rest stop?
It's very simple. This is a very simple answer to your question. He know, like... That, you know how when you've gone down a route long enough, you just know
guy's shitting spot.
Yeah, well, you just know all the good spots. You're like, well, people will stop here to shit. Look at it. It's this perfect haven for shitting. And so it's just a matter of time, you know, before somebody gets out and takes a shit in the woods next to the Autobahn or whatever the fuck.
Right. So he kidnaps a trucker, and we don't know anything other than he's bad because... Good people don't kidnap truckers.
Right.
Taking a shit on the side of the road.
One thing I also learned, truckers in whatever, Netherlands, Germany, they dress the exact same and look the exact same as truckers in America. Which is kind of like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, unlike American truckers, they shit on the side of the road. I think American truck drivers have learned the art of shitting inside bottles.
What?
I just assumed. They pee in bottles all the time. If you're going to pee in a bottle, I mean, might as well just work up the skill set to shit in a bottle, right?
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Get one of those wide-mouth Gatorades.
Dodge a ball, dodge a wrench. Yeah, it's going to have to be a wide mouth. That's for damn sure.
while watching this movie, I realized that there's like a exact inverse of this movie is, and it's actually directed by Eli Roth. Is Knock Knock, starring Keanu Reeves. Do you remember that movie?
Keanu Reeves starred in an Eli Roth movie?
Uh-huh.
I gotta see this.
It's pretty crazy. And I also didn't realize that one of the girls in this movie, in Knock Knock, was Ana de Armas, which is like, she's super hot right now. Well, she's always been hot. But I mean, she's like, in terms of...
Yeah, popularity.
Popularity, like... She was just in the new James Bond movie. Wow. She was in Knives Out. Anyway, I didn't realize it was her that was in it. But yeah, Knock Knock is the inverse of this movie because it's two hot girls showing up wet on Keanu Reeves' doorstep.
Throwing up poop
and
he's
a family man.
Butthole.
He's a family man. And they come in and basically attack him. And this movie, Human Centipede, is about two American girls that show up wet on a guy's doorstep, and he sews their mouths to some anuses.
Yeah, definitely dead on inverse. Mm-hmm. Just FYI, Dieter Laser is a German actor,
right.
Not Dutch.
He is?
Yeah, oh. So take that.
Well, I think they filmed in Netherlands because that's where he lived.
I feel like if Eli Roth had made this movie, I'd like it more.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there'd be a little more humanity in it?
There'd be a little bit more humor in it. There'd definitely be a lot of humanity in it. Yeah.
See, I kind of like the lack of humor in it, because I think it really... It makes the...
Yeah, you're sitting there fucking giggling like a goddamn sociopath the whole time.
Okay, so let's get to my absolute favorite scene. So this is, of course, like the iconic scene is him explaining what he's going to do to them.
Uh-huh.
And it's the perfect example of why I love this movie.
It's so absurd.
It's because he's in absolute... earnestness and like slow, methodical, like he's gone through this speech hundreds of times in his head and just obsessed with every concept that he's going to be talking about.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about how, you know, he's in medical terms, you know, because this movie is 100% medically accurate.
Yeah.
He describes how he's going to attach three people together by making incisions and and removing teeth and attaching their mouths to an asshole.
But also so like snipping their snipping their ligaments in their knees so you can't stand up anymore.
And this horrific, like, just because you're viewing it in the from the viewpoint of the people that are going to go through this, and this, you know, you just assume you're going to get raped or murdered, and
preferable.
I would probably prefer that.
Yeah,
preferable. I prefer to get raped and murdered rather than
a human centipede.
Be like the middle or last segment of the human centipede. First one, no, it wouldn't be too bad. I could live with it.
I didn't go missing, David. The FBI knew where I was the entire time.
They knew where she was. They were just toying with him.
Okay, so the most important part, though, is as he's giving this whole monologue, accompanying it is his overhead projection illustrations, which are comically, like, childish. They're like... They're like gingerbread man versions of
it's like people. Somebody forgot to make the prop until the day of, and Tom Six was like, well, you just forgot to make it. What are we gonna do now? And then they're like,
he's talking about like the in detail medical terms like mucosa and like all the all these medical digestive tract, you know, concepts. And you'd think he'd have, like, a real detailed, you know, diagram of how, you know, where the veins are and the arteries and the nerves and all that. Nope, it's literally just if I asked my four-year-old to draw a gingerbread man whose mouth is attached to...
the butt of another gingerbread man.
It would look like this. So, the juxtaposition... of these childish drawings and the utter seriousness of the delivery of the lines, along with the utter depravity of the concept.
Well, but also the backdrop is important here. The backdrop is you have three people, captive audience, tied to bed right. in varying states of panic and anger.
Right.
Which really sets the tone, you know? Yeah. It's like...
And Dr. Hyder is like calm as a Hindu cow as he's going... through.
He doesn't even pay any attention to the Japanese guy who's like, ah, yeah, you know,
yeah.
Ah! And he's like, okay, so what we're gonna do? We're gonna cut you open, tinker with your ticker.
Dumb it, give it to me in plain English, doc. Yeah. So that scene, just makes the entire movie
it's
for me.
It's unbelievably hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't argue with you at all. I laughed without intent. You know, it wasn't like I was...
And the fact that the entire movie is so humorless that it makes that point in the movie just elevated so much.
Crushingly funny.
Right.
Yeah, it's... It's like, wait. You prepped this? Like, this is your presentation? Couldn't you just... You could just take pictures of the dogs that he did this to.
Right.
You know, he could have just shown pictures of the dogs.
It'd be like if Steve Jobs was unveiling the first iPhone and the pictures were just hastily drawn crayon drawings of what the iPhone looked like.
Clearly done in MS Paint. Right. Specifically Microsoft Paint. with in Microsoft Paint with the spray paint, you know, filter used a lot.
Right.
It's pretty thick.
So speaking of, actually another topic, the actresses in this movie. So the main characters. So this is the thing. They're not great actresses.
No.
I wouldn't say that they're amazing. There's a varying quality of performance for the actors.
They're actresses. They're of the caliber that I would, I'd say they're of the appropriate caliber to sew each other's mouth,
right?
To each other's asshole.
And I'm just saying, like, it's kind of a film that doesn't really matter the performances at a certain point.
Yeah, at a certain point, you're in a done up in a makeup suit where you're literally just attached to someone's butthole.
Mm-hmm.
Your mouth is terrifyingly close to someone's butthole.
Right.
For a long time. I gotta imagine it is not a fun thing to go to through makeup for this.
Right. Can you imagine what the casting call was like for this movie?
You're gonna be a star, kid. You're going to be a stud. This is going to be your big break. You're going to be naked.
There doesn't seem to be, for the main character, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of sides. Like, this doesn't have a lot of dialogue.
You're going to be naked. You're going to be shaking them cans. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be strapped to a Japanese man's butthole.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just like the fact that, okay, you're going to be topless for most of this movie. Mm. Like, in a demeaning, like...
Like, the most horrific way.
Horrific way. The two actresses that are in it are like, I'm on board. Okay. Now that I got you there.
I went to
next
Juilliard.
Up, you're going to be walking on your hands and knees almost the entire movie. Okay. I can do that. Mm-hmm. I used to be a Tyler. Okay. Perfect. Did we mention your face would be attached to someone else's ass?
I'm in. If it wasn't sealed before, it's sealed now. The kids love to eat ass.
I know. I was going to say, does Gen Z actually consider this a horror movie?
This is like a how-to.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of a fantasy.
Right.
Than anything.
I wish the two of us could be together. I want to attach my lips to your beautiful asshole and stay there forever. You can just feed me right out of it. I know you're delicious.
The kiss at the end really seals the deal. Where'd you get that?
So I was just like right after we watched this, I watched the podcast with Dr. Drew and Christina P.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, Late Night.
Late Night. They played this clip of this guy. This is a guy. This is his pitch. Like, this is a pitch now. Like, the horrific plot line of the human centipede is like no, this is attractive. I want to,
dude.
This is my starting line on my online profile for you,
dude. Some of the calls and some of the letters we get on Hotline and Advice Podcast are of this caliber. It's like, I eat a lot of ass, you know, I find it troubling, you know, how my breath, it's just like we get some real depraved callers over there, and it doesn't surprise.
This is weird down
over the years. This was a 2009 movie, and now this is just mainstream media.
Yeah. Like, it wouldn't even be shocking anymore.
No.
It's like when people watch, The Exorcist now. It's like, oh, well, she seems so tame now. Yeah.
Well, what I was just talking about scary. It's just a Tuesday night.
I was a part of a human centipede last night. I paid good money for that.
Yeah.
I keep mentioning that it's 100% medically accurate because apparently Tom Six had a doctor or a surgeon quote-unquote, consult on this movie, so he could say that. That's part of the marketing material.
Well, I think that's probably how they got the makeup piece, right? So he's like, so, doctor. He made this. He's like, I'll pay your hourly rate, you know? Doctor, what would these incisions look like? What would you actually have to do? And that's why these incisions look so funny and weird.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got this real long, elongated
smile. It's like a flap, yeah.
Because that's probably how they would actually do it. Like, you know, ostensibly, if you wanted to do this.
Right.
Which so many do.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's probably, yeah, how they ended up with the makeup piece that they got.
You know, that's the thing about, like, surgery is, it's not, like, you want to assume that this is, like, oh, yeah, you know, they, you know, they...
Oh, yeah, no.
It's like, this intricate, you know, and blah, and that's all you hear is, like, all the knowledge of, like, human anatomy so they can attach the veins.
It's like a mechanic in the shop, man.
And it's
like
literally
bang, bang, bang. It's like hammers.
Right. If you look at some of the tools that surgeons use, it's literally like, you know.
This is our medical grade hammer.
Right.
It's a ball peen.
Right. And you see some procedures and you're like, that, we're just doing that? And it's like, just like two steps away from medieval, like, bleeding.
Oh, yeah.
It's you want a gastric bypass? Oh, yeah. We just cut out all of your insides and then attach these two tubes.
Yeah. My neighbor was, before I got my vasectomy, uh-huh. I went over to my neighbor's house and he's like 80.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, yeah. I was like, I got to get a vasectomy. He's like, ooh. I was like, what's that? What's that little thing you did? And he's like, oh, you don't want to know. And I was like, well, now I have to know. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, I had a vasectomy done in the 70s, in the late 70s when it just wasn't a thing. And so you had to go to the women's clinic in Seattle. That was the only place in the region that did this on a Friday. On Fridays, they'd have a thing for men. And so I get there and it's the morning and there's a bench and there's four or five guys on the bench ahead of me. So I sit down, take my place in line. And they call the first guy in. First guy goes in, and within 2 or 3 minutes, he goes running out the door, running. And then the line cleared up immediately. All the other guys just got up and went out the door. And so it was my turn. And I was like, damn, Bruce, what happened next? And he was like, well, I went in there, and they were like, hey, this is a dentist. He's never seen this done before, but he wants to, you know, he wants to sit on the procedure. Can he watch? And Bruce is like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. And he said, before he knew it,
I'm shuddering right now. This is
a good episode to tell this story. He said, before he knew it, like as they were anesthetizing him, they had handed the scalpel to the dentist.
No.
They had made the incision right, you know, above, you know, right above your ween. And they were like, hey, do you want to, you know, it's pretty simple. You get this, you know, you grab this thing. It's the vas deferens. And he goes, this? And he just whoop, pulls it a good 2 feet out of Bruce, you know, like spaghetti. Like he's like, whoop. And like, yeah, you cut it right about there, and boop, and he just cuts it, and Bruce is like, whoa, 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 what, this guy's doing it, and he's looking at his insides coming out, and he's like, whoa, 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 and they're like, dude, calm down, chill out, it's okay, like, hey, and then they just pushed it back in. Bryce is not, he's having it.
I'm squirming
Bryce
so much right
sweating.
Now.
Sweating. Yeah, they put it back in, sewed him up, sent him home, and, yeah, hasn't had kids since.
Ugh. Ugh. Oh, man. Yeah, or if you see, like, the procedures where they're trying to, like, save a toe, or, like, they're trying to, like, create a nose.
Yeah.
Or, like, a penis.
Yeah.
They just sew it to some person's arm.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the blood supply is right here. So you just, like, you're standing there with a dick hanging off your arm.
Hell, yeah. Like every day.
Right. And, right. Yeah, I mean, to say that this is like completely absurd is like, oh, I could see this happening.
Yeah, they really.
I like to see the arms.
They like to see the arms. Man.
Can you come out with stink like that? Poop. Poop mouth. Poop out of your mouth.
So
yeah, he betrays himself. He tells, he's like, hey, you know, I had a dog. It was a three dog.
Right.
And he's got this gravestone in his yard.
Do you think that's the inspiration for the band Three Dog Night?
I don't know what that band is.
Oh, you never heard of Three Dog Night?
It's kind of like a heavy metal band?
From the 70s? It's not heavy metal. Just
it's kind of Billy Joel.
Do you know Foghat?
Oh, yeah.
It's basically like that.
That's heavy metal, dude. Oh, hell yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? Foghat's fucking heavy metal.
So, what were we talking about?
His three dogs.
His three dog, yeah. He's got, like, this grave for his three hound, you know, in his yard. And
he gets
real sentimental.
You can tell he really gets off on watching them behave as one. Like, this is where the care and, like, the effort comes into this movie, because it could have easily just been a movie where they did this thing. Mm-hmm. But he's more than that. He's, like, this weird, perverse person, and his intentions are stated, like, the way he is stated really early, which is, like, I hate people. I hate them. And then you can tell that he's really engrossed in his work, because all around his house is all this gross Siamese twin artwork or pictures of separating little kids in surgery, which is fucking horrendously weird and horrible. Uh-huh. And then like the real kicker is he's so enamored uh-huh. with like this thing that he's created. Like he's crying. Like when they're all crying, when they've been sewn together, uh-huh. when they're like, realize what's been done to them, and he's showing them a mirror, and he's like, look what I've done. And they're like, oh no, oh no. And he's like, oh yes, this is so good. I'm so happy. Like, that's the next level. Like, that's right. Transcendent of,
right.
of the simple bullshit that this movie could have easily been.
Right.
And it becomes this weird, like, super perverse exploitational thing.
Yeah, so they're all sewn together, and it goes, the head is this Japanese guy, and then because the trucker wasn't compatible, and
sadly,
and then the middle girl, and then the end girl, and it doesn't really matter, you know, at that point who's. What's the ranking order for the head, middle, and ass? Like, who do you think has the worst part of it? The middle or the ass?
I mean, okay, so there's a few things going on here, and follow me, right? So the head is obviously the best.
Yeah.
You get to eat regular food. Right. You're not tasting someone's butthole all the time.
Someone's licking your ass the time.
You get to talk. Someone's licking your butt all the time.
Right.
You don't have your incisors removed.
Uh-huh.
It's just obviously the best. It's right. the best.
Yeah.
So now the question is, middle or ass?
Right.
And, I mean, a lot of people will automatically say, oh, the ass is the worst. You're going to... But there's a lot of weird added benefits to being the ass. You're going to die first,
uh-huh.
which is obviously preferable.
Uh-huh.
Obviously. And then also, if you're the middle, not only when you have to move with this segmented thing, the person in front of you is tugging on your mouth...
Uh-huh.
And then the person behind you is tugging on your butthole.
Right.
So you're the tensor. Like,
right.
You're constantly being just thrown into horrible discomfort
uh-huh.
and hoping that your coordination with these other two assholes, no pun intended, is in sync enough to like not... I'm going to say the middle is the worst segment.
I'll just say, throw one wrench into that, is that the middle also gets their ass licked all the time.
That's so true.
I mean, that's... Does that outweigh?
You get to die first as the ass.
Okay.
Head is
preferable, then ass, then middle.
Right. Because in the middle, you still have to eat shit.
Right.
Like, you get all the drawbacks and none of the benefits.
Right. Yeah.
It's a weird cost-benefit analysis you have to do.
It's true.
I think it does pan out to middle being the worst. And that's why he chooses to, as a punishment, when the girl who ends up being the middle tries to run away and just fails so miserably. This is the most infuriating part of this movie,
right.
Is this middle girl is so bad at getting away. Like, she sits and dawdles and thinks about, like, should I save my friend? Bitch, the best way to save your friend is to go get the police.
Her friend is unconscious. Like, she's flopping on the... That's another scene that's impressive, because, like, she's moving her at, like, 1 inch per 2 minutes.
It's unbelievably slow.
And then it cuts and she's at the top of the stairs. You're like, so she must have been dragging this friend for at least 2 hours.
A long time. Yeah, it was, she had to drag her upstairs. Like, it was such a poorly thought out panic move. You know, though, it is real. It is pretty real, because many years ago, I was in night school. I was going to school for network administration. Carrie called me because there was a fire in the oven. I'm at night school. She's like, David, there's a fire in the house. I was like, what are you doing on the phone with the call 911? Call 911 right now. Please, please, please. Call. Hang up. She called me.
Uh-huh.
I was away. This is
what was on fire in the oven.
The element melted.
Oh.
And so it, you know, big gushing flames of fire came out, probably a little bit of an arc from the electricity as well.
Yikes.
But people panic.
Yeah.
And when they panic, they make real bad decisions.
Right. There's a point at which, like, the doctor is feeding Human Centipede.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the Japanese guy doesn't put up much of a fight. He does bite him.
Yeah.
He does bite the doctor. But then, you know, he's like, I'm pretty hungry. And so he chows down on, I think it was like dog food he was fed him or something.
Yeah, it was, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And then inevitably, like, the scene where you're all, I mean, it's like Chekhov's gun. You know, if you're going to sew three people together in a movie, like, you've got to show the scene where the poop is transferred.
Yeah. That was, that made me gag.
It's very effective.
It made me gag.
Right.
I'm so sorry. Should I eat the cuttlefish and asparagus?
I pulled this clip. So this is, South Park made an episode around the Human Centipede.
Yeah.
Called the Human Centipad.
Yeah.
It was around, like, accepting the terms to the iTunes.
Yeah.
Terms of service.
Yeah.
And then it you signed off your right to be a human centipede, basically. And so this is a behind the scenes with them recording one of the scenes.
Okay.
From this. And it's funnier visually, but it still comes out in the audio. This is Matt Stone and Trey Parker recording
the voice.
The human centipede scene.
Sent iPad.
I'm so sorry, Kaido, but I am starving. Which would you rather I eat? Should I eat a cuttlefish and asparagus or the vanilla pesto? Cuttlefish and asparagus? Very well, I will eat the cuttlefish.
Need to eating sounds? Oh, yeah.
That's a cuttlefish and asparagus.
It's so funny. It's so stupid.
That's a cuttlefish and asparagus is not the sitting well. Oh, no. Cuttlefish is about to come out of my asshole. Oh, here it comes. Oh, it's going to be a rot. Hold on, Kaido. I believe in you.
That was so much fun.
David, this is so awkward.
It's going to be a rod. Oh. So I can't watch this movie now without thinking of that.
Oh yeah.
Scene.
Let's just take a moment to pay our respects to the most brilliant comedy minds of our generation.
Right.
Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Right.
Like, holy goddamn shit.
Yeah, that clip is from this documentary of them creating one episode of South Park. And it's so insane.
Was it 6 days to air?
Yeah. They do it in 6 days, and they have since the beginning. Can you imagine being, like, the amount of power and money that you have from being the guys that created South Park and still every week just going in and creating it from scratch yourselves?
I remember when they found Saddam Hussein, this is a weird tangent, but I do remember the day that they found Saddam Hussein in that hole. Uh-huh. And then I remember like 4 days later seeing the South Park episode that reenacted the whole thing. And
right.
And I felt like I had traveled through time somehow. I was like, what? What's happened? What? Like, I was so confused and impressed with how fast it came out that I thought like a tremendous amount of time had passed. I was just like, you can't create a cartoon in this amount of time and get it on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very impressive stuff.
And they talk in that documentary, it's like, yeah, Simpsons are like Family Guy. They take months.
Months and months. Yeah.
It takes like 3 months to do an episode.
Right.
Start to finish. They're doing it in 6 days.
Yeah.
And it just looks like they're scrambling. And you see it in their eyes, like, the first couple days of, like,
what are we going to do?
Yeah. You got to just come up with an idea.
And they come up, and the thing is, it's crushing bangers.
Right.
like way more apropos than anything Family Guy right. or Simpsons comes out with.
So, yeah.
Bite my tongue.
So, when he's... The Japanese guy bites Dr. Hyder and he gets very mad. And then my second favorite scene is when they're out on the grass. And this is just a weird, kind of a non sequitur scene, but just the delivery of it and the situation just tickles my funny bone for some reason. Because they're out in the grass and Dr. Hyder is like in his full length lab coat and he's got these shiny leather boots and his like strop or what do you call it? His crop, riding crop.
Sure.
The little,
yeah, little
thing that you
hit a horse with.
And he's just like, I've got my boots on. Now feel free to bite it. Bite my boot.
I'll say this. Bryce was gleefully happy throughout this movie. He was happy like a serial killer would be happy at watching the life fade from someone's eyes.
There's a combination of reliving this movie that had such an impact on me, but also doing it
to me
live and watching David react to it.
Yeah, I was one of those things that were gagging at parts. If you're not a patron, you should go head over there and get early access to the
commentary track
of us watching this movie, because it's I do gag a lot.
Yeah, so the ending is pretty stark, and that's kind of puts the capstone on this movie is how it ends, because the last girl is like dying. She's got sepsis, as one does.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese guy,
it was her diet. She was just eating too much shit.
I know.
You know. You got to eat good stuff.
I can sympathize.
Right.
I eat so much shit.
Yeah.
Just junk.
Yeah.
The Japanese guy at the end.
I can't believe you watch Paranormal Activity. It's killing me. I'm like, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, we never explained that.
No.
We were supposed to
review Paranormal Activity Next of Kin, and I've been like excited about this one today. And so I said in passing, but I've been talking to Bryce about this a lot. I've been like, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin, let's get Paramount Plus. We're going to watch it. And then I told him what we're going to watch this week, and I just said Paranormal Activity.
Uh-huh.
So he just watched Paranormal Activity instead of, right. So we go to record Next of Kin this morning, and he's like, I watched Paranormal Activity, the first one.
Yeah.
I was like, Oh.
I mean, there are like seven now.
Yeah, it's true.
So you,
yeah. Got to be really specific.
Got to be pretty specific.
Yeah, it's true. It is on me. It's on me.
Anyways. So, I mean, the cops come, and the only reason, like, the cops exist is to kill Dr. Hyder.
Right.
To make the ending even more hopeless.
Yeah.
Because this all happens basically once cops come and are starting to find out what's going on. Dr. Hyder is panicking, and then also the Japanese guy at the head of the human centipede is realizing, you know, that this is hopeless. And out of spite, he commits seppuku.
Yeah.
So he commits suicide by slashing his own throat and ruining...
The centipede.
The centipede.
Further proving that the middle is the worst.
Right.
Because this girl has her dead best friend hanging off her asshole.
Uh-huh.
And a dead Japanese man hanging off her mouth.
Right.
And she's just like, what's up? Like,
yeah.
The cops walk in. They're like, whoa, what's going on in this room? It's like The Shining times a million.
And, yeah, and then Dr. Hyder kills the police and also gets killed by the police.
Right.
So it's only middle girl that's left. And then it just cuts to black.
Yeah, but you got to figure backup's coming. You know, the police know that where they're at. They just went and got a warrant.
Yeah, but that'd be a couple days.
No. No.
You think hours?
Oh, my. Yes. Hours at best. Probably more like a half hour.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if that's why... that's why the radio exists. You're constantly checking in and telling your location. And if you go dark for a little while, there is a big deal made of that.
Yeah.
They come looking for you right away.
So I wonder, how could you survive...
All that poop in your
being
mouth?
Being attached to two dead people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she lives and probably doesn't want to.
I'm trying to think of the...
It's a horrible universe. It's a truly...
Because, like, you would be sharing the same... You never really went into, like, the blood system.
Oh, touche, That's a good point.
Because they'd no longer be pumping blood.
Oh, yeah, I bet you die pretty quick. That's a good point.
Mm.
Oof, gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a really disturbing universe, that's for sure, in thought. And I'm told that Tom Six got a lot of shit from True Horror fans for this one, who were like, this isn't that bad, because I think a lot of mainstream press got a hold of it and made a heyday with it being, you know, because if you remember back in 2009 when this came out, there was a big hubbub about this movie. It was like, it's the grossest movie ever made. And a lot of hardcore horror fans were like, no, there are way grosser movies than this. This doesn't show anything, really. And so Tom Six, out of spite, was like, oh, you want the worst movie ever made? I'll show you the worst movie ever made. And then he made Human Centipede 2. And I've listened to some interviews by people who were on production for that. People who were on production doing special effects for that. And they said, when I watch it, I throw up. These are the people who made the movie.
Hmm.
So it's definitely a disturbing universe that he's made.
Yeah.
It does make me interested in his other movies, though. That's
right.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's The Human Centipede. I think everyone's got to watch it.
You think everyone's got to watch
this? I think everyone needs to watch this.
Everyone needs to watch Human Centipede.
Yes. Your mother, your grandmother.
Why? To what end?
Because it deserves to be known.
Wow. You really think that?
No, not really.
No.
Yeah, the only people that would really enjoy this are people that are like, just want to be viscerally disturbed.
Sadists.
Yeah, just like, or people, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I put myself in that. I think just like the sick delight of something just utterly depraved and done in such a serious way and having just super, super dark humor. I think there's a sweet spot.
Ew, David.
It is the darkest of humor. Like, the blackest black.
Right.
But, yeah, I'd have trouble recommending people watch this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say if you're looking for shock, this achieves it without animal cruelty necessarily.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, there's your recommendation.
There you go. Okay, so let's move on to a new game I call Head Middle Ass.
Okay.
We've already set it up because we've discussed which one would be better. This is basically like Marry, Fuck, Kill,
uh-huh,
except the human centipede version. So I'll give you, and you can come up with a trio for me. Like, okay, we can go back and forth. It really doesn't matter who, like, it can be completely random or it could have a theme.
Uh-huh.
But I'll give you three names.
Right.
And you have to decide,
okay,
Marry, Fuck, Kill style, which deserves to be the head, which deserves to be the middle, and which deserves to be the ass.
Okay.
I mean, no one really deserves it. But if you're forced to make a human centipede, who would you put?
Right. Got it.
Okay. So first up, just to show you, you know, how random this can be. And, like, I'm really curious of the criteria in which we would grade these people. Okay, first up, Tom Hanks, Jennifer Aniston, and Michael Cera.
Ooh. I think I would enjoy the stupid, inane banter that came out of Michael Cera's mouth the most. I really enjoy listening to Michael Cera in interviews and stuff, so I'm going to put him in the head.
Okay.
You know, I really like Jennifer Aniston a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of would like to have sex with her.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if she'd have me.
Right.
I wouldn't cut her kneecaps or anything like that.
Right.
But if I had to.
I mean, non-consensually, you wouldn't do it.
Right? No.
Right.
No. But I'd put her at the back. You want to be able to stare at that booty.
Okay.
And then Tom Hanks, whatever. Just put him in the middle.
Yeah. He's a good sport.
He's a good sport. I have one for you.
Okay.
How do you think I did?
I think I wouldn't be far off. I would put Michael Cera at the front because I don't think he eats that much, you know, and I just have sympathy for the other two.
Right.
Because they're America's sweethearts.
Yeah.
You know, but I would do Tom Hanks at the end because he would die quicker and, you know, he's had a long life. And Jennifer Aniston, I'd like to give a fighting chance.
Oh, yeah. Okay. White Knight. Jesus Christ. Okay, I got one for you. Oprah, Bill Gates, Elon Musk.
Ooh.
Rich and powerful people.
Rich and powerful people.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is hard.
Yeah.
I'd put Oprah at the head.
Okay.
Because I think she'd make the best out of the situation and have some inspirational, like, words.
Uh-huh.
That I think might be able to talk her out of the situation. She might be able to talk Dr. Hyder out of, you know, out of unattaching them.
I'll give you some poop and give you some poop.
I would put Elon...
Uh-huh.
Oh, where would I put Elon? Gosh, this is hard. The middle and the end is the hardest part.
Yeah. It wasn't for me. I just want to see that Jennifer Aniston back there, you know? Mm.
I'll put Elon Musk in the middle. Again,
wow.
I'm just going to say fighting chance, like... If there's a way for him to survive, I think he's got more work to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bill Gates at the end, he's going to die for... Again, he's had a long life. Like, his death will you know, established, you know, hundreds of charities, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Give me your next one.
Okay. This one is the final girl themed one. So we got Laurie Strode.
Yeah, yeah.
Nancy Thompson from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sure.
And then Ellen Ripley from Alien.
Okay, so this is a little easier. So Ripley I would want at the front because we want her as the most mobile. She's
capable.
Extremely capable. Uh-huh. She went up against a whole different species in space.
Right.
And repeatedly came out on top. She's
ahead of the pack.
Head of the pack, for sure. For sure.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with the same thought process. I'd like to see Nancy at the back. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know? And then Lori, you know, she's a fighter. She's a fighter.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to put her in the middle.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of...
And actually, Lori Strode is pretty similar to the middle girl in this movie, whereas, like, she had plenty of chances.
Yeah. Yeah. Bitch was asking for it.
Fucks it up every single time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but the good thing about this lineup, I think there would be the least amount of crying.
True.
You know, these are tough girls.
Yeah.
They're tough.
And finally, Nancy could get some shut-eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or would Freddy torment her in... as the human centipede.
So there I was, sleeping on her ass.
You got another one?
Sure, yeah. Here we go. Eli Roth.
Okay.
Tom Six. And the Queen of England. I hope this gets out. You know,
yeah,
to the Queen.
Yeah, yeah.
She retweets us.
They
put me at the head, because I am the head of state. Or... country.
I'd put Eli Roth at the head. Just because out of those people, he's the one I enjoy the most.
Okay.
Tom Six is in the middle because he deserves it for coming up with the entire concept.
Right.
And the Queen is at the end.
Oh.
Again, long life. Like, and she's used to, you know, just existing off of other people's work.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Give me your next one. I like this next one you got.
Okay, the next one is the classic trio. Freddy Krueger, Jason, or Michael Myers.
Wow. 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 I feel like... So if you put...
This is interesting because they're masked.
Yeah.
Too.
I feel like if you put Jason or Michael at the front... There's just going to be, I mean, this is going to be
right.
No, the quietest centipede right. ever. But if you put Krueger at the front, then, you know, prime time, bitch.
I mean, the whole concept was to punish child molesters, and it would be kind of a tragedy.
Yeah, yeah. Freddy at the back. That's a good point.
Right.
Freddy at the total back. I feel like Jason probably at the front. He's my boy. And there's no way you're sawing through that hockey mask. It's just
right.
It's too thick. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have any problem getting through that William Shatner mask. So Michael in the middle. There you go.
So would Michael's mask be like rolled up over his nose?
Well, Michael,
cut it.
No, you just take it off.
Oh, okay.
And then, No, that's a good point. Just leave the eyes. Just cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut below the eyes.
There you go.
And give him a little eye hat.
Okay.
I got one for you here.
Okay.
Here's a good one. Steven Spielberg. Okay. George Lucas.
Uh-huh.
Michael Bay.
Wow. I mean Spielberg at the head.
Okay. Yeah,
he's the greatest director.
Little fanboy guy
ever,
over here.
You know.
Yeah.
We'll say Michael Bay and George Lucas.
George Lucas has really fucked the Star Wars name a lot. I'll just throw that out there. I mean, He's one of the, he's the richest director on earth. And also, he deserves none of that.
Yeah, but I don't like Michael Bay at all. I respect him. I don't know, I'm gonna do Michael Bay at the middle. And because I hear he's a huge asshole.
Really?
On set. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm Facebook friends with
Michael Bay.
With a guy that works on movies, like all the Marvel movies and a couple Michael Bay things. But he said like he had some stories about Michael Bay that just sounded awful.
This is news to me. What?
Yeah, he's a huge asshole on set.
No, wait. No, the part where you're friends with somebody who works on like big Marvel movies and stuff.
Yeah, he's like he does like the digital video so they can watch it.
How do you know
back
this
on
person?
Set from high school.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be. Okay.
And he was Mormon.
There you go.
Anyways, so yeah, George Lucas at the end. I mean, I have a little more sympathy for him. I mean, yeah, sure, people blame him for a lot of bad things, but he created Star Wars.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be Star Wars, there wouldn't be Indiana Jones without George Lucas.
Yeah, but still.
Okay, what's your last one here?
Okay, this one's especially for you. So this is the Paranormal Activity themed one.
This is tough.
So we got Katie from the first one.
Yeah.
Christy from the second one.
They're
and then
sisters.
Skylar is the babysitter from Ghost Dimension.
I can't remember Skylar very well. I do remember the Ghost Dimension pretty darn well.
Or Skylar wasn't the babysitter. She was
the mom?
No. She was the hot teenage girl.
Yeah. Ooh. I love Katie. I mean she's if you were to ask me in all movies ever, who's your A number one, it'd be Katie.
Yeah,
from Paranormal Activity.
You know, it's weird because it seems like it's your wife is not that far off from Katie,
well,
in my opinion.
What I'm talking about, just chasing that dragon,
right?
Whew, just thinking about it, got a chub going. I don't know. What
I wish the two of us could be together. I want to attach my lips to your beautiful asshole and stay there forever. You can just feed me right out of it. I know you're delicious.
Sounds like he's in a diner.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. I don't know. I love you, Katie. You get to be the front for sure. Skylar's beautiful. She gets to be the back. Mm-hmm. And then...
poor Christy.
Christy's the middle. Yeah, I mean, it's a great movie, don't get me wrong, and she does a great job in all the movies, but just don't have anything in common with you. So there it is.
All right. Well, that's our head middle ass.
You come out with stink like that. Poop. Poop mouth.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
So, yeah, that's our episode for today. Thank you for joining us again. Please go to our website, horrormovietalk.com, and take our listener survey and give us some feedback. If you like the show, please subscribe and leave us a rating and review on either Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. That helps us out and gets us seen. Yeah, anything else?
If you guys would like to help us out, you know, do so by becoming a patron. That helps us directly. It gets you a ton. I mean, we do more work on our Patreon than any other podcast out there. So you're definitely getting your bang for your buck. And it's just for the cost of a coffee per month. You get to help us out in it. And it really does help a lot. And if you sign up for an annual subscription, you get to save 13%. On the cost of that subscription. So consider that as well.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Looking for a podcast full of burps and gas, perverted cast, skinny and fat? Look no further. Horror Movie Talk is accidentally funny, begs to donate money, fake sponsors for dummies, and so much more. New episodes every hump day. They'll pickle your dickle for foreplay. Patreon members have it your way. Vote for a movie every month for the review. Chopper, chopper, don't just stare at it, eat it like a taco. Put your tongue through the phone, hoodie Picasso. Look at them hot kids swearing, not a pedo. Got me too'd with Cosby eating jello. Puddin' Pop done gave Bryce flatulence. Train addict, addict Dave doesn't give a shit. 1 through 10, is it horrible or excellent? Oil me up, daddy, is dinner rough? 10 kids, Bryce Hansen. Look at them hot kids, Chris Henson. Masturbate with a crucifix, exorcist. Face huggers, chest bursters, alien. Linda Blair peed on Sigourney Weaver. I know it's true, cause it came from social media. Patrick Bateman can't understand you. Stab you to death for Rotten Apple reviews. Opinionated podcaster with a doctorate. Spookology, doctor of philosophy. Bad gastritis, knee colostomy. Turn Patreons into human centipedes. David Doobie Day, scare him, no expert. And global fucks hard, professional sexpert. Afterpods, taglines, and porno flicks. American Psycho, them guys pretty sick. Chopper, chopper, don't just stare at it, eat it like a taco. Put your tongue through the phone, hoodie Picasso. Look at them hot kids swearing, not a pedo. Got me too'd with Cosby eating jello. Puddin' Pop done gave Bryce flatulence. Train addict, addict Dave doesn't give a shit. 1 through 10, is it horrible or excellent? Oil me up, daddy, is dinner rubs. Nothing good happens in the woods. Always get more than you bargained for. Got a pickle to dickle, machines tickle bitties. Killer on the phone, ain't no Sharon Stone. Vancouver, Portland, Oregon, and organs. Corona, COVID, curse, Lerona. Green River Killer, because reasons. Hallway of poop monster, kids screaming. Ain't your ordinary dingleberry itinerary. 30 days shudder and jump scares ain't fucking scary. Time for the spoilers with jokes and tropes. Use their white socks to catch their loads. To show them one titty, pretty. Paganism you should worship, they Teflon dicks. Pacific Northwest, let them see one breast. Shifty ass, stay spooky, poor man's digress.
Bugsy, HMT, Horror Movie Talk.